Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. The mountain ghost town of Bourne, Oregon, was the home of Oregon's greatest mining swindle. Although it was home to some productive mines, the Blue Mountain boomtown of Bourne made much of its money working the suckers back east. And then its head honcho disappeared into the night with all the money, hours ahead of the law, and today it's a ghost town. This story was first published on November 1st, 2010. Here we go. When it comes to attracting swindlers and charlatans, there's nothing quite as effective as gold. And nowhere in Oregon was that fact more clear than the bustling boomtown of Bourne, what today is a tiny ghost town 7 miles out of Sumter along the banks of Cracker Creek. Bourne, Oregon was the home of several thousand people, along with this large collection of promising-looking but relatively unproductive mines, as well as a palatial residence and a printing press that, in Miles F. Potter's words, quote, hardly had an opportunity to cool off for 6 years. Its glory days ran from 1900 to 1906, when the mastermind of its multi-million-dollar municipal swindle skipped town just a few hours ahead of the law. Here's the story. In the late 1800s, miners started discovering massive veins of gold in the rugged, remote regions of Oregon's Blue Mountains. In short order, towns like Granite and Sumter sprang up from the rocks, and mining companies started setting up shop, and representatives of a species of rugged, hard-drinking, hard-punching men drifted into the region to work the mines. Well, now, by this time, technological breakthroughs had made it possible to get a lot more gold out of a promising vein than the hopeful prospectors of 1849 had been able to. But it cost a lot of money to do it. That meant mines were more valuable to the big industrial mining concerns than they were to individual prospectors, and with the fortunes that were being cracked out of the earth at the time, big industrial mining concerns were springing up on stock exchanges all over the world. Financiers in London were buying, sight unseen, mines in places like Copperfield, Oregon, and they were doing really well. It was probably inevitable that someone in the mining district would figure out, sooner or later, how to work this system to mine a different resource, not gold from the ground, but investments from suckers. It was simple supply and demand. There was a market for mining opportunity fantasies, and into that market stepped F. Wallace White. White worked the system like the pro he was. First, he hauled a printing press up Cracker Creek to the little boom town of Bourne, which was at the time a fading sister city to nearby Granite and Sumter. A few thousand miners lived there and worked nearby mines, but those mines were playing out and the freelance miners weren't having as much luck as their colleagues in the other towns. For White, it was the perfect opportunity. After all, he wasn't in the market for mines that actually produced. Why pay extra for something you don't need? Soon his printing press was in motion. Its main purpose was to crank out 2 newspapers. One, for local consumption, served as a typical small-town weekly paper and was more or less truthful. The other, distributed nationally wherever suckers might congregate, contained almost nothing but lies, a gold mining fantasy that would have been worthy of Walt Disney himself. But of course it was designed to look exactly like a real, honest, small-town weekly newspaper. This publication spun fantastic but convincing tales of mammoth gold strikes, of huge capital construction projects, of rich shipments of bullion, and of course it offered readers opportunities to buy into this fairyland investment opportunity. With the $7.5 million stock offering, White launched the Sampson Company Limited, with offices in London, New York City, and Bourne. He bought up the playing-out mines in the Cracker Creek area, and when investors came to visit, he put on a dazzling show for them at his rustic but lovely terraced mansion with its formal dining room and ballroom, and he put on an impressive show for them as well at the mouths of promising-looking salted mines guarded by burly men with steel in their eyes and shotguns in their hands. Meanwhile, other shysters were working the suckers, too, and the marks were starting to get a little smarter. Or perhaps it was just that so many people had been ripped off that they couldn't fool themselves anymore. Perhaps it was a little of both. In fact, the legitimate mine financing industry was having trouble raising capital too, because so many investors simply thought any gold mine was crooked. The governor of Pennsylvania actually threatened to outlaw the sale of any Oregon mining stock in his state. In response, the scammers spent ever more money. Full-page newspaper ads started appearing. Quote, "You can enter the Temple of Fortune by purchasing Hiawatha Mining stock," screamed one. There is, by the way, no record of the Hiawatha ever having produced anything. Quote, "By Consolidated Standard, dividends are sure to follow as day succeeds night. $500,000 worth of rich ore waiting to be processed," promised another. Consolidated Standard produced only a tiny trickle of gold. But as for White, by 1906 he was starting to get nervous. What he was doing with his printing press constituted mail fraud, and in his 6 rich, productive years of mining far-distant suckers, he'd made himself a small army of enemies, many of whom had friends in important places. So one night, White simply disappeared from Bourne. He left everything behind but the money. Authorities did finally catch up with him many years later, still diligently operating mail fraud swindles and no doubt muttering to himself that after this next big score, by golly, he was going to quit for real this time. But as for Bourne, the town, it melted away. There wasn't enough gold, legitimately, to keep the place busy. Most of the miners went downstream to Sumter, across the ridge to Granite, or out of the hills to Baker City. A few families remained, but today, it's empty. And it's not coming back. It's part of a national forest. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.